Yeah, just your point number one should be list plural, because there's the staff list and the listener list. So I mean, the bylaws refer to, so there's two separate lists, right? Two separate classes of voters.
So the ballot list contains two sublists. Yes, the list of voters.
Sorry, it should be. Shouldn't it be a plural? Two different lists.
It should be the voters, the list of members eligible for voting. Wasn't that your language? Voting members is defined in the bylaws.
Yeah, the list of voting members.
So, Marcy, may I weigh in?
Yes, Marcy.
I just think what Ken and Michael are doing is great, and I do go along with the idea that you just say, as voters is defined in the bylaws, period. You don't need to go into it any further.
Yes,
and what you could do with this motion is attach that section of the bylaws that deal with the definition, and you could put it at the bottom, it doesn't have to be part of the motion, attach for your convenience is a section of the bylaws which defines the listener categories. That could be a separate thing in the email.
Voter categories.
Good point. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to address one point that Bob brought up. I do think that we need to set a date certain. Remember, this committee is going to be advising the PMB, which will consider the motion. At that point, if we say by December 31st, a report on this or finish this or give a definite report by December 31st, and the ED says that that is not time enough, they can certainly modify it at the PMB level, which I don't look forward to, but it can be done. I don't think that there would be an objection to reporting by December 31st. I'm concerned that quarterly in 2012 would be too late, and that the date of record is also maybe too late. So I would like
May to... May I make a suggestion? Can I get on the stack?
...thereafter and leave it at that.
This is Margie. Can I address that issue?
Uh-huh.
I think what we need to do on that is state, you know, the dates that we feel right now we have to push through to get the 2012 elections, and then say, you know, once we've established, you know, the reporting, we will and find that it has been, you know, satisfactorily complied with, we would like to then proceed to go to a quarterly basis. In other words, then you're giving them an idea, it's a mess now, we got to act on it now. Once we get this mess straightened out and procedures in place, then we'll take you off this and go to a regular thing, because you've set up your volunteers and your mechanisms in place to deal with it.
Very good. Yes, I like that. I think we need a timetable for the elections process, so we may want to adjust those dates after we get that. But
yeah,
at the moment, this is good. Michael, could you incorporate that language into your motion somewhere?
Well, you got the gist of what I was saying, Michael. You
yes.
can put it however you'd like to.
Did you say basically report by December 31st? And
well, and then we need, and then we'll probably need a couple follow-ups before the 2012 elections. I might give them three times certain dates, you know?
I would say monthly thereafter.
Monthly thereafter, and then after the 2012 election, because of the cleanup efforts, we can go to a quarterly or even, you know, not yearly, semi-yearly basis, semi-annual.
Yeah.
Why don't we say monthly until a clean list is achieved and quarterly thereafter?
I like that,
beautiful.
Michael.
That's very good. Thank you.
Because actually, if their list is clean, they can just resubmit it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like no big deal.
Yes. Well, it has to be updated, and we'll have to get professional advice on exactly how often it's necessary, but that's a great start. Thank you all. This is a good job. Are we ready to vote on this?
This is Bob. Just one last thing. I think that the first report from the ED should be sooner than December 31st. I would change it to December 1st. Because the point I was making earlier was not about reporting being onerous, but about accomplishing all the administrative tasks to implement the motion being possibly onerous. But there's no problem with asking the ED to let us know by December 1st what you know, has any progress already happened? Are there problems that have been identified? Are there things that are unrealistic? Or, you know, just what the, what's the plan to get it done, et cetera?
Jane, one other question.
That sounds reasonable. Does anyone else have any objections to that?
No.
Making two dates, December 1st and then a December 31st. Good, thank you.
Yes. Well, no, it's not two dates.
No.
It's December 1st and then monthly until the list is cleaned up, what Michael was just proposing as wording.
Mm-hmm. Changing from December 31st to December 1st.
Right. The first report, and then monthly reports thereafter.
Then if anybody's late, we could have it by December 31st. I like that, Bob.
Yeah, we're still asking for the actual list in 2011. And,
right.
You know, or we want to know why not. So.
Well, can I?
All right.
I'm sorry. Point of information, Michael. When you said we're asking for the actual list, you don't literally mean that the committee wants a copy of the list, because that's not appropriate.
No.
We want them to assert or to certify that the lists have been cleaned by, you know, whatever.
Signed in blood.
Yeah,
that's all we want. Yes. Good.
It's Jane.
All right, Jane.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder about directing the GMs to do it. I wonder, can we give is it helpful to give the ED the latitude to accomplish it some other way if she wanted to somehow get a consultant who would go to all five stations and do it? In other words, do we really care how she gets it done, whether she directs the GMs for somehow gets it done? Just wondering.
She could direct the GMs to use consultative help. She could direct, but it is the responsibility, her responsibility is to direct the GMs to do something. So tell them how to do it. It's not our problem. I think that language is really quite in keeping with the chain of command.
Can I speak to that? Because one of the things that was stated several times in the NES and LES reports is that the GMs were not cognizant of the responsibility for making sure the election process moves smoothly at the stations, and the GM is the person who's really going to make sure that the carts are aired and all the other things. So this is like the first step in drilling home to them that, you know, this is a serious responsibility of the entire network, and as management, top management at their particular station, they have to make sure their station is doing it smoothly. And so that's part of what's behind this, is that what I got out of the previous problem reports from the NES and LES is that station management doesn't take it seriously.
I'd like to raise an issue that may be, you know, really sensitive, but I remember getting when Les Radke was the national supervisor, he pointed out that the PNB has some beautiful motions, perfect motions with regard to the elections in those years, but they had no teeth. And I'm not too sure that we can count on a PNB to put teeth in this. Do we want to add something about appropriate sanctions be implemented by the ED? I'm not too sure of the how that would fly, but I do think we need to make it clear that we expect something to happen if, in fact,
against the facts,
that we expect something to happen that if the GMs do not do this.
Margie, for the SAC?
I don't know quite how to push that, but I do think we might want to think about it. Yes, Ken and then Margie.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely concur. However, if we put too much on this motion, we're not going to get it through tonight. I think we should vote on the motion as it stands, because it seems to have concurrence, and then come up with another motion for some level of discipline or notation folder or something. But if we start putting that kind of enforcement in on this motion, I think it's going to make it too long, and you know, it's going to... I think it should be separated. It's too much to put in there. It won't be good talking about it too long. I'd rather get this motion passed, then discuss some second motion.
All right, perhaps after December 1st when we don't get the results we want.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with what you just stated, Carolyn. I think what we do is we put this out, get it approved at the next level up, And then, how, Carolyn, who will be responsible to work with the ED to make sure that these reports are in? I mean, will you have an ongoing conversation with her about,
I really am. We discussed this. She's very concerned about the elections.
Okay, then
it won't take much pushing, believe me.
What I think that should happen is when, I would direct or I would ask her to when she does have, the different stations weigh in, we've completed, here will you go, whatever. We make a list, and then, for example, if, let's say, KPFK, for some reason, didn't get their list in, maybe the people who represent this group could contact their own general manager and say, would like to make sure we comply with this, and you need a help or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I think we need to do is maybe have her let us know the week before the due date who's outstanding. And then the people at the stations contact them and say, please go speak to your GM and find out if there'll be any hold up or if they'll have it in on time.
Carolyn, I have to move my car and I could lose my cell signal. So if there's a vote on the motion on the table, I'm in favor of it, even if you can't get it. I have to park my car and I might lose my cell signal when doing that.
All right. Thank you, Jen. I do want to point out. I think part of the problem is that the GMs do not know what to do, or they think that they've already done it, or somebody on their staff has said, "Oh, the list is fine," and they have accepted that. So I do think that one of the things I would like to do is to work up a very specific checklist to hand to the ED, so that she will have a way of getting factual information and not just a feeling that the list is okay. We can certainly do that informally. We don't need a motion for that, and I'll work on that.
Just to say, that's what 1, 2, 3, and 4 were about, but I don't care.
That's exactly right. You're right, and that was the details. All right, are we ready to vote on this?
Bob, one last thing. Margie made a good suggestion about appending the relevant part of the bylaws, and so I would just define that more specifically, that really the definition of members is contained in Article 3, Sections 1 through 4. So we should just append that and maybe even put, just for those who may not be clear or whatever, just put in the part about make sure that all members are in the database, to say all members in the categories listed in the bylaws, because there are multiple categories. So that they don't, because some GMs may think members means listener members.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may think it may be listeners and paid staff.
Good point.
We just have to say that all categories listed in membership listed in the bylaws,
very
Article
good.
3, Sections 1 through 4.
Right. Okay, that sounds good.
You want me to reread it?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. The Elections Committee recommends that in preparation, well, you remember the whereases, but the Elections Committee recommends that in preparation for the delegate elections in 2012, the PMB requests that the executive director have station managers implement the following protocols for cleaning up and securing a database to be used for balloting, additional to the donor databases maintained at each station. One, establish and maintain current list of all voting members in the categories as defined in the bylaws, Article 3, Sections 1 through 4, parentheses, appended, close parentheses. Two, encourage all members to keep their contact information current. Three, eliminate duplications in member databases by using the USPS NCOA service, doing comparison of databases for all five stations, and carrying out any necessary measures to establish that each member can vote only once. These cleanup efforts should take place at least once in 2011 and again next year, no later than immediately after the date of record in 2012. The Elections Committee further recommends that the PNB request the executive director to report by December 1st and monthly thereafter until a clean list is achieved. by December 1st and monthly until a clean list is achieved and quarterly thereafter on progress and problems in implementing the above protocols.
Report to the Elections Committee.
Yes, I'm sorry. Report to the Elections Committee by December 1st and monthly thereafter until a clean list is achieved. By December 31st and monthly until a clean list is achieved and quarterly thereafter. I don't want to say thereafter twice. On progress and problems in implementing the above protocols.
All right, that sounds good. Are there any objections to this? Wonderful. Congratulations, people. Hearing no objections, that motion is passed. Michael, you'll send that out, please?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Nice work. All right, people, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Time to go on. All right. The next item was the contracts for election supervisors.
I'm sorry. This is Bob. I just have a question about the what was on the agenda for the database integrity work group. In light of this motion, what is the work of that work group? What tasks remain to be done at this stage?
Well, perhaps that database, that work group can talk about checklists to help the GMs and the ED in their work.
Yeah, I think that could be brief.
Mm-hmm. Protocols, for instance, how to create volunteer lists and protocols for collecting contact information, which is important. One of the issues we're going to need, especially if we talk about electronic voting.
Ken, to the stack on that.
Yes,
That's on the agenda before we, the protocols for collecting volunteer and staff lists, before we talk about the contracts, right?
Yes.
Hello?
All business under the number one, the database integrity work group section.
Okay, all right. So in terms of the Otis McClay in the technology department has developed a database that operates over the Internet to allow all staff, paid and unpaid, and volunteers to enter their contact information. It just has to be, it's there, it's ready to go, it can be accessed by National, it just has to be implemented. And I think there was a motion to implement it in 2009. It's a question of getting compliance from the general managers to distribute it. Personally, it runs into a resistance of people not wanting to identify themselves. I feel, however, that most states require certainly paid staff to identify themselves. You need contact information and the name of who to contact for an emergency and so forth. And also to do deduping. I'm very uncomfortable to have ballots handed out to staff members without having identification at some level and trust that ballots can remain anonymous even though staff is identified. I don't think we should have unidentified staff associated with the station. So I think we can use that. And by the way, there is an, in that software, an opportunity for the staff member who does not want to be identified to take two choices, to opt out of the election or to provide a P.O. box so that the ballot can be delivered. He doesn't have to give an address or phone number, but we need to identify where the ballots are going. And if he doesn't want any information, he can still identify himself with any kind of an anonymous name or anything. And no address, and he can thereby willfully opt out of the election. But I think that the elections require that the person identify themselves as a person with an addressable location, at least email, if not an address, and it provides for a P.O. box. So we did, the software does the best it can to accommodate confidentiality and privacy requirements of the staff. But what we have the solution there for cleaning up the staff lists, it just has to be implemented. And it's over the internet, so it can be done from anywhere. And if somebody doesn't speak English or has problems with computers, they can get an assistant to help them fill out the form over the internet.
Let me stop for a minute. Are you suggesting that we address the implementation? Because I think that that would be the ED's job to direct the GMs to implement this already existing software, which exists and has a motion establishing it. I don't think we need to do anything more than insist that it be implemented.
Right. That's what I'm proposing. I propose a motion that national management implement the staff registry software at each of the stations to create an inventory of all staff, paid and unpaid, and volunteers working at each of the stations eligible to vote in the upcoming elections.
What did that 2009 motion say?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to go researching it. I don't know. That's my memory, and my memory's not that reliable. I don't have access to that stuff right now. But I know that the software is going
to
work.
That. Can we wait and see what that says before we move into another motion on that item? Because that motion may already be establishing it. I know.
Okay. All right.
FBI,
good. We'll do it. Meeting.
The general manager has implemented that database, or at least a printout of it.
Okay.
Jane, I would like to get on to that.
Yes, Jane. Who is this, please? Jane?
Yeah, this is... you may have already addressed this, but the question when I dropped off of my cell phone was, what is the role of the database integrity work group given the motion that was just passed? Are we still discussing that?
Well, we veered off into another topic Ken raised, but yes.
Right. But what I was thinking is that database integrity work group could shift gears to assist the ED in any way in terms of how to implement that directive, because what Kim was just talking about seems like something that the ED may not be aware of, but it would be beneficial for the committee members to bring it to her attention. So I think if that database integrity work group could simply stay in contact with the ED and the staff at stations as needed, to assist in any way, to clarify.
Yes, that's a very good point. Thank you. That expresses exactly what I had meant. Thank you.
Michael, on the sec.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it would be a good idea to have at least one person at each station on the work group to, follow up in that way.
Mm-hmm. One person from this committee?
Yeah, at least one. Well, either we said we could recruit people to the work group, so not necessarily on the committee, but obviously it would be most helpful if it was somebody already on the committee, but I don't want to. It sounds like there's only one person, BFW, for example, on the committee, but maybe there's somebody else at the station who's willing to be on the work group. So just try to make sure that we have at least one person from each station on the work group, whether they're on the committee or not.
And I'd like to add that no more than one. I don't think the GMs would appreciate having two, three, or four people pop in and see if they're in compliance, et cetera. I'd rather that the... Well, maybe the work group can get some protocols for its own motion. It's worked through the ED and one person at each station. That's a good point. Thank you. All right. We can, the data, that work group will meet and maybe raise that item. Any other issues items for that particular work group? All right, thank you. Moving on then, the next item is the contracts for election supervisors. I have to confess, I don't recall why we asked for those. Was the person who wanted those contracts refresh our memory?
I didn't ask for them, but I think it was related to the idea of coming up with a job description for the NES and LES, or is that spelled out already? I couldn't remember.
Oh, yes, we wanted to, when we're working, oh, perhaps for the, in the RFPs, and a job description. Yeah.
Well, this is Bob. I think I was the person who raised it, and at least one reason is to see what they say about reporting, that we've had problems over the years where supervisors do their work and they never file their report. And so we want to check if that's in there. And just in general, I think, you know, it's part of our due diligence as a committee is to see that, I mean, because there's been so many problems and many, you know, widely agreed upon deficiencies in the way supervisors carried out their work. So we should look at what instructions they're being given via contract to see if there are lapses. Maybe there's major things that aren't incorporated that should be, which is a little different than the question of the job description. It's closely related, but this is what they are contractually required to do. So I think it's worth a look. I mean, maybe we'll find that they're fine, and then we can just, you know, move forward without tinkering with them. But I think we should at least have a chance to review them.
Well, all right, that sounds good. Then I think
Marjana,
we can put that on hold until we get to that point, which we're not at yet. Yes?
Hi, it's Margie. Can I speak?
Hi, Margie. Please.
Hi. I just want to back up Bob on that point that he made. I found that the supervisors oftentimes, or I've only been really involved with one, but there were certain standards I think that should be met through the process that I think this committee should address. For example, bios at our station went up in staggering times. They should all go up at one time. There were people with pictures, people without pictures. I was told they had pictures there, but they didn't go up on the same date. So I would like to see us have that as a discussion in the future.
That makes good sense. My only hesitation for getting into it now is that it may be premature, because if we're going to do electronic balloting and if we're going to consider an outside company, we may have a completely different job description for each of these positions than we've had in the past. So I think maybe that's our next big task, is to look at the electronic balloting, collect some data, get data and proposals, and then decide, write up an RFP and put it out there. We have material from previous efforts, very good ones, and we just need to look at companies and see who we want to deal with. So I think that would be our next basic item. You know, I put down the contracts because we have them now, but I think it's premature to consider them now until we have decided what kind of election we want to have.
So yeah, point well taken. Thank you. That's fine.
All right, can we move on to some of the action items, or it's getting very late, and maybe we've already got some work going. Is that agreeable?
Sure.
But you disagree. All right, let's move on. First one was something that I was responsible for that I have slacked on, I'm afraid, sorry to say. I have started to contact the GMs about the process and so on. So I'll work with the database integrity group to do what we agreed to do, which is to form a support group, in a sense, for the GMs and ED, if that's all right.
Personal privilege, Carolyn, you're drifting off. I can't really hear what you're saying.
I'm sorry. I'm on my cell phone, and it's losing juice here. Is that a little bit better?
Slightly.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have myself, Anthony, Bob, Margie, and Kevin on that work group. Is that correct? Are those people still on that work group?
I am.
All right. I will call and contact you, and we'll set up maybe a teleconference.
Maybe Jane, or if Jane can recruit somebody else from PFW.
For what?
For the work group on database integrity.
That's the one we said we wanted somebody from each station.
Oh yeah, I'm. You know, we have our meeting next a week from today, and I'm going to be filling our board in on what the committee is doing and asking for another volunteer. And I'll mention specifically that we're in need of somebody that is. I live an hour and a half from the station. So hopefully somebody who lives a little closer to the station might volunteer because they could spend a little more time.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. And then the next item, Manajay has not come on the call, Bob, so I think we may have to postpone that motion until the next meeting.
Okay. Well, then I have a question about since we're going to have working groups meeting between now and our next meeting, so we have to decide what our policy is on non-members of this committee being on them.
What we said last time was that people could join provisionally and within saying their membership was not finalized until we came up with a policy or approval method. I think we should just continue with that. If there's somebody that, you know, somebody from the committee wants to be on, for example, in this case, the work group on database integrity, Jane is going to try to get somebody to join who's not on the committee. We should just let that happen. Pending.
Oh, no. I'm looking for a new committee. I'm looking for a new committee person.
Okay.
Oh, because you're short one.
Right.
Yes, you're short.
So I'll lobby hard for somebody willing to do this job
to be elected
as a member of our committee.
Right.
Well, I think back to the work groups, though, I would appreciate maybe only one new addition and notify the committee if you've invited somebody to work with your work group. Does that make sense? Until we can establish a protocol for approving them?
I support that concept.
Sure.
Well, that would have been fine, but you yourself, Carolyn, already invited two.
Well,
we should be consistent.
The point is moot because I just propose this policy now. Robert Johnson, as I wrote to the committee, has declined. He's gotten a job assignment. He's working on a book, I think, and doesn't have time to be here. And so we have Bill Crozier, who had volunteered, and that would be our one, I think, for that committee if he wants to be. I'm not sure what Bill wants to do, but he volunteered for several years. But so I'm notifying the committee that Bill Crozier wants to join that work group. How's that?
Point of information, I guess. Are you saying one per committee or one per member? In other words, one member of this committee can invite someone else to join a work group.
Well, I think it would overwhelm it if everybody invited one person. How about one per work group until we decide on some protocol for approving people?
I'm sorry. I thought, Carolyn, that you had said specifically that the database integrity work group would be comprised of five people, one from each station. Did I misunderstand that?
I don't know if we did one from each station. I think we volunteered. I don't know if we had our stations in mind when we volunteered for that.
No, I thought that's what you were suggesting earlier when you said limit one per station on the
database integrity
work group.
I meant one per work group. In other words, one person.
She's referring to the earlier comment. I was the one who suggested that we have at least one person from each station on the database integrity work group. And Carolyn, you said sort of no more than one, at least charged with dealing with any given station. So
I think we could have more than five. I meant no more than one non-committee member. I meant no more than one volunteer to a work group who is not.
I'm just refreshing memory. This wasn't related to the question of volunteers or not. It was related to the question of how. There could be more than five people on the work group, but we want to have at least one person from each station on the work group. No more than one person at each station will be responsible for the sort of interface, so we're not bombarding them with two or three people from. That was the point of that. It wasn't related to member or non-member of this committee.
Oh, I see. Yes. No, good point. Uh-huh. Yes, one person would be responsible for the station interface.
On the question of how many to be added, I do think there's a lot of work to get done, and I wouldn't want to limit it to only one. Maybe we could say three or something. I just feel like if we're looking at some of these things... that.
Well, that would be good if we had some way of regularizing it, which we have not proposed yet.
Well, that's what I was saying. Last time we said provisionally until we regularize. Since we're not going to regularize it at this meeting, I'm saying let's continue with that. People can be provisionally added to the same thing. They're not members until it's regularized.
All right, that's good. That's fine. I will agree with that. Any objections to that? That sounds all right to me. All right. The next item then was number four. Bill and Michael were going to consolidate the e-list. I kind of like the Yahoo groups. You like
what was number three?
Three was... that's right. Bill...
That was the upshot of the motion that we just voted on earlier, really. It was Bill and I volunteered to redraft Carolyn's motion last time about the validation of the member. It says volunteer list, but it wasn't just volunteer list. It was monthly validation of the voting lists, essentially. We came up with that resolution that we passed.
Thanks. Okay.
Well, actually, it did have to do with volunteer lists, I thought. And was I mistaken on that? The problem was how to keep records on the volunteers and so on.
Carolyn, my understanding is that the motion that we just passed was dealt specifically with the volunteer list, but we kind of streamlined it.
Yes, this is a sub-problem, and that was how to keep track of volunteers so that the lists were transparent. I remember that.
Just to report, I did talk to the volunteer coordinator at KPFK, who said that the only problem she's had reporting volunteers to Terry Guy, who does the MemSys, is that she doesn't get timely lists from the LSB about people doing volunteer work on LSB committees. And, otherwise, they, at least at KPFK, they are able to keep track of their volunteers, either phone room volunteers or other people volunteering pretty consistently. It's only, people doing...
That's one out of five stations, I'm afraid.
Nancy
and the other four.
Yeah.
We have not had that much success, I know, at WDAI, I'm sure.
So this is like a task under the database integrity work group, right?
Yeah,
yes. That's a good point. Yeah.
So
put that up into the database integrity group?
To flesh out, yeah, because I think that would be helpful.
That's
very helpful.
Fine. Thank you. All right, number four, then we're down to the e-list for this committee.
Sorry, I was added to the old list, but I had left town immediately thereafter, and I just got back Sunday night, and I haven't had a chance to. I said I would try to either transfer files from one list to the other or figure out how to do that, and I haven't had a chance to even look at it, really. So.
Bill had offered to do that and help with it. I'm only concerned that we don't lose files in the transfer. Some of those old files are very valuable.
Yeah.
Especially for people who are just joining this committee, and they really need to spend an hour digging through those old reports, because that's where the problems are really at.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that, whenever you can get to it.
All right, yeah.
Sorry about the typo for number five. It's not a worry group. It's really a work group.
Yeah.
And we've dealt with that, I think, and we've dealt with number six, a date. We've changed that to the 24th for the ultimate date. Number seven, now we need a work group on the e-balloting issues. And,
so again, that was not just e-balloting, it's the whole professional contract voting company.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. How to conduct the election, essentially, is what it is. And I'm not sure. People volunteered for that a long time ago. Should we reconstitute that work group? who is interested in that. I know I am definitely.
Bob, I'm interested.
And I want to get to the SAC at some time.
Ken, we'll put you on the committee.
No. I wanted to bring up another issue.
Well, all right. Let's do. Anybody else interested in that committee? That
I'm very interested in that committee, but I just have some questions. But maybe they could be dealt with.
I'm sorry. Who is this, please, Mike?
This is Jane Gatewood. I'm very interested in the request for proposal and the whole concept of organizing the process for putting leadership in place. Whether
good,
it's,
I know. Good. All right. I know Bill was too. Well,
so the question of whether it would be done through an outside vendor or through hired staff.
Yeah, that's the issue that this committee will address. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Carol, this is Bob. Did you hear me that I wanted to be on the committee?
Bob,
working
yes,
group?
I did.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony, too.
Anthony, good.
I guess, Michael Novick speaking, I'm also interested. So I have Carolyn, Bob, Jane, I think, said. Mm-hmm. Myself, Bill Crozier, who is not on this call. Is that right? Bill is not on this call?
No, he didn't answer.
Yeah, okay.
He's not
and
a
Anthony.
Member, right?
Hello, this is Nancy.
No, that's right.
Hello.
Yes.
Bill and I are free if you want to talk to Bill.
Bill?
Yeah, I mean, if you want him, he's still here. We just finished our MSRC meeting.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. He hasn't come on the call yet. Uh-huh.
You have a question? I'll get him. He's right here.
Well, I don't know if he wants to come on the call. That's fine. Ken, you had a question?
Well, Nancy could ask him if he does want to be on the RFP committee, so to speak.
Oh, say that word again. On the what committee?
Request for proposals around voting and e-voting.
Can you say it simpler? Request.
R as in request, F as in four, P as in proposal. RFP, request for proposal for possible outside vendors to manage our election and also the e-balloting question.
Okay, to ask him if he wants to be on RF, and who does he say? Maybe I'll get
it
him.
It might be easier if Bill just came on the call. He knows the issue.
Hey, Nancy, why don't you just have him call in?
He's right next to her.
Oh, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill. This is Carolyn. We are just going through the agenda here, and we're at the item where we were forming work groups on e-balloting and RFPs and so on.
Okay.
And you had expressed an interest in being on that. Are you still interested
in
being on that?
Well, yeah, I'll be glad to help if you'll let me know what you need.
Okay, that's great. We'll put your name down. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll get back to Nancy.
Okay, thanks. And Ken, you had a question.
Yeah, I think there's another action that we have to take in regards to the past election, where there have been violations in election procedure, violations of the Fair Election Campaign rules, some of which have led to lawsuits because of the things which developed out of them. And I think we should address that, and if possible we can come up with some motions for defining what will be reviewing the Fair Election Campaign practices and for consequences for violation thereof.
Yeah,
I certainly want to get into the same situation we got into in the last election.
Yeah.
And there we go. That kind of a person. I can guarantee it happened again. That there will be things which violate fair campaign practices as published by National. And I just want to have a more thought-out, planned response to any slander, libel, or violations of the fair campaign practices.
So,
Ken, that is out of order at this point because we're dealing with another issue. But if you could...
Oh, okay, all right. I'm sorry.
Send us a motion on it. No, that would be great, but send us a motion. And
I just want to form a committee to address the fair campaign practices.
We're on number 10 at this point.
Okay.
Well, why don't we take it on the new business? We create a new work group to deal with that. Yeah, was that audible?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I was suggesting that under new business we could create an additional work group to deal with that.
Oh, good point. Thank you, yes. All right, so we only have 2 items to go to get there. Thank you, Ken. Number 8 was the timetable for the elections process. Margie is out of town, I gather. Does somebody else want to take that up, perhaps? It just means calling around to the various general managers, finding out when they're going to have their fund drives, and then putting that into the hopper with the date of record and other legal dates so that we have a timetable and we know when each action will occur or each deadline comes.
I can tell you ours are going to be quarterly, so we're going to have one.
We need one for the entire network. And we need somebody to put all that together, which means collecting the data. Would someone like to take that on?
I'd be willing to do that. This is Michael Novick speaking.
Michael?
Okay. Yeah.
Michael, I will send you our schedule within the week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That would be great. All right, that's number 8. And, Michael, you and I were supposed to outline a campaign to raise awareness of elections and the network membership and staff. I'd still like to do that.
I sent you an email about that shortly after the meeting. I never got a reply. I just sent it again to the list this evening.
Oh, I apologize. I've been totally lost. Okay. I'm sure you did, and I will respect you.
You know, I want to make a point that the last time I served on this committee, the very last thing that occurred is a member of our group and some other a member of the WPSW LSB and some other members of this committee drafted a really good document that talked about this exact topic. I will track it down. I will make sure that you have it.
Great. Are you aware that you can
post? It's very much in line with what you have here.
Good. Are you aware that you can post, files to the list?
Yeah, I'll find it.
If you're on the Yahoo group.
It was posted to the group previously, but I'll track it down and post it to the
Okay.
group.
Thank you.
Okay, that's wonderful. I think that concludes our old business. It's almost 10:30. Do we want to continue with the business, or do we want to...
Are we up to new business now?
We are. Do you have that motion you'd like to add?
Yeah, so just a motion that we have a task force or subcommittee to address violations of fair campaign practices and measured responses so that it's detailed and handle ahead of time any consequences. I'm not really saying this too eloquently. Just that we have a task force to address the proper implementation of fair campaign practices.
That sounds good. Are we going to deal with all the ones that have not been addressed for the past 5 elections?
Well, either we handle it or it's going to slap us in the face again. It comes a time when we have to stand up to it and say, this is the way we conduct our elections, and if there's violations of it, these are the list of consequences. And we've done it at our local LSB meetings where we put in a measured, aggressive scale of discipline for disruption, and a similar action can be done for campaign practices. And then it's just, it is what it is. It's known and it's followed. Because we got, I don't want us to get the same kind of problems we had in the previous elections.
Does Shane, I have a question.
So I'll be on that, and I would solicit other members who want to participate.
Oh, I do.
Would anyone else like to participate in that?
Oh, I do. If we're going to have a list of violations and the proper way, I'd like to know all the sneaky ways that have been done at the other stations, too, so I can look out better.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Nancy. From
Nancy,
KPFT.
Hi, Nancy. Okay, fine. Nancy.
I'll help you, Ken.
Ken. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Anyone else?
Anybody else?
This is Dan. I just have a question.
This is Wesley. I'd like to be on it, too.
And who is that?
Wesley.
Uh-huh. Correct.
And I'm sorry, I missed someone between Ken and Wesley.
I said, this is Jane.
Nancy.
I have a question.
A question. All right, Jane. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... as I understand this, it's almost like what this work group will be doing is attempting to flesh out the protocols for handling campaign violations. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And that they would use past campaign violations as their guideposts?
And publish lists of fair campaign practices and come up with legal, appropriate, measured, progressive handling.
So this would more or less be an attempt to put established policies and procedures in place throughout the network that the National Election Supervisor would be able to implement because they'd have
that. That's right, and the local election supervisor. And then when we're done, we'll get it approved by an attorney, and we'll be able to implement it. And hopefully, you know, historically, we've had lawsuits associated with each election, almost all elections. I don't believe there were any in 2009, but I'm probably wrong on that. So anything we can do to protect ourselves against that by taking appropriate, defined legal action is good. And if we come up with a list like that,
absolutely,
and we distribute it to the candidates and they sign it and they recognize it, then that shields us from taking that kind of disciplinary action, because somebody who's read it and understands that if they violate certain regulations, they're going to be disqualified or they're going to lose their cards or whatever it is. They're going to have less standing to object when they're disciplined.
I just want to make one suggestion for that work group.
Well, for the group, yeah. But, I mean, I don't think we should get into discussing the details
no.
of...
No,
yeah,
I
but go
think
ahead.
That's a good idea. Ken, you want to convene that?
What was that?
Will you convene that, Ken?
Yeah, I'll convene it.
All right.
Right. The only thing I want to suggest is that just refer to those old NES reports, because I do think that there actually were some pretty good protocols that just weren't held on to. I think that one or more election, there may have been an attempt to do such a thing, so I just suggest starting with what was done before and then, you know.
That would be great. You could email me any history on it. That would be fantastic.
I don't know where to find it, but maybe somebody else does.
There are the reports in the list, the list that Michael and Bill are going to put together, but they're already in there. You have access to those, I believe. You just have to go into the file section and read those reports. And I think you'll get a lot of information.
If somebody knows where those are and can refer that work group to them, that'd be great, because I can't find them. I know I can't. But I think I've seen them before.
Well, I'm just requesting the secretary send me. I just requested the secretary send me a list of the people that are volunteering for this task force, so I can convene the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
Ken, we might recruit some. Michael Novick speaking. I think this is one that we might recruit someone to who has previous experience. As a non-member of the committee. The other thing I want to emphasize again on the question of the files, the way you see the files is you have to go to the Yahoo Groups page for this DELEC at Yahoo Groups, and then if you have a Yahoo identity, you can log into, and you're a member, you can log into the section that says files, and there's a various folders and specific files that include a lot of the previous NES and LES reports and other material, and we're trying to include the stuff from the older list on that. One of the things I wanted to point out in relation to what Ken was saying is that I think there was a lawsuit in 2009, or maybe it was 2010, that it was actually a lawsuit against one of the LESs, right? So when we think about violations, it's not only what the LES will enforce, but what the LES will do, or NES.
Exactly. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank
Excuse
you.
Me. This also, it's not just the candidates, but also we would have pertaining to the state election captains, right? And they sign something saying they're not going to do this, or this, or this. They'll be responsible. I mean, then we don't pay them if they do something bad.
Right.
This
okay,
people, it's
that
time that I would like
Excuse
to
me?
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me. This is Bob.
Yes?
I want to say something
Bob?
About this. First of all, I'd like to be on the working group. And second of all, I just want to remind everyone who's going to be on that working group that because a reference was made earlier to devising some, you know, strict schedule of penalties, et cetera. The bylaws are very clear. It says, in the event of any violation of these provisions for fair campaigning, the local election supervisor and the national election supervisor shall determine in good faith and at their sole discretion an appropriate remedy, and then it gives what those remedies can be. So that's not an area that the PNB or this committee can say, well, the remedy should be this or the remedy should be that. That's been already delegated to the LESs. We can certainly make procedures about fairness and in how remedies are decided and whether there's notice to all parties and, you know, prompt reporting and all that kind of stuff procedurally. But as far as mandating remedies, we can't do that.
Well, I just right. Ken to the stack on that, and I know we're getting close to adjourn. I just want to make one comment on that. I make reference to the bylaws, which we absolutely want to adhere to, but I think it's open to a full, you know, that's why we're forming this task group. The most important thing is to shield the foundation from litigation, which is of a great financial distress. So we have to do something to remedy it. And I'm certainly in concurrence with the bylaws, but if the LES decides that the best thing they're going to do to remedy some indiscretion is considered to be illegal or opens us up to litigation, well, I don't think we can abide by that. So that's why we have to have a task force to address the situation. It hasn't worked.
They definitely need guidelines.
Carolyn, I just have one question for you.
Yes, please.
Was there a convener for the work group I said I would work on, that RFP group?
The which group?
RFP and e-voting.
Yes, yes. I agreed to convene that since I had started the discussion, I think, some time ago. So I'll be glad to convene that.
Before we adjourn, my suggestion earlier was that we try to pick some dates for those, because last time we did pick the date of October 4th, and that didn't happen, and it didn't meet. So I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think that was me. I was really.
But it's not just on you. I'm saying, if we could solidify the date, then if the convener can't make it, but everybody has the date, then the meeting could happen with somebody else.
Oh, we have 9 and 10 to open, and I will just call around. It's a small group. It's not a lot of people. So I think I will either call around or send emails for one of those dates. And if people
connect
those, then we'll go to a third date. But let's start with the
9th and the 10th. All right, so I'm just saying the 10th is the PNB Governance Committee.
Well, those committees start at 8:30, so if the group wants to convene at, 6 or 6:30, they would have a two-hour meeting, before a PNB meeting kicks in. That's not impossible. That has worked before. That's one possibility. But we'll pull around and check.
How about
17th?
That's a possibility, too.
17th is good for me.
I don't want to do that tonight. I'm sorry. I'm really not ready to do that tonight.
Okay. All right.
I can't wander, but we'll definitely do it. Thank you for the job.
Just to say, the 14th, 17th, and 20th are all open on the calendar for this month, so.
Okay, good.
Monday the 17th right now looks pretty good for me, personally.
Which work group?
The RFP e-voting.
Uh-huh. Monday the 17th at the moment, that's good for me, too. Who can't make Mondays? Margie, right? But she didn't volunteer for that work group, so. All right, we'll tentatively make that, and we'll write around and confirm that.
This is Bob. That's a bad night for me. I'm sorry.
People,
were you
I'm
on
sorry.
That work
it's really too late. I really would like to adjourn this.
Okay, let's just.
Okay, well, let's do this on email then.
Possible.
Yeah, let's. Let's
do it by
all right.
This is the end.
Good meeting.
All to adjourn.
Great motion. The meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Thanks a lot.